Blog Talk Radio.
There's no winning
because I tell you we beat you and you say you haven't won a Super Bowl. I tell you we're about to win the division and you say you haven't won a playoff game in a number of years. I tell you we're going to the playoffs to host the game and you're sitting home and you say you're going to lose in the playoffs. We win in the playoffs, then you say, well, you're going to lose the next game in the playoffs. We win that game, then you're going to say, well, you're going to lose the next game in the playoffs. We go to the Super Bowl, then you're going to say, well, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. It's not going to happen. And then if lightning strikes and we win a Super Bowl, you're going to say, well, okay, you finally won one. I guarantee you, you won't win one next year. So I'm realizing there's no way to get you to realize how ridiculous when it comes to football. Because I like football. He's a very smart man. But how ridiculous as a Giants fan you sound. Listen, cuz, your team is terrible. I don't know what's going to happen with the Cowboys, but there's kind of an unwritten rule. If your team isn't doing better than the other team, you kind of got to eat some humble pie. We beat you. We're going to win the division this week. We're going to the playoffs. And, you know, I'm a realist. We're going to go to the playoffs. I think we'll win the first game. I'm not sure about traveling out to beat the Rams or to beat the Saints. That's going to be a tall order, and the season might end right about there. So you don't have to wait a few weeks to come back and say, see, I'm a realist. But are you a realist, cuz? Are you understanding how terrible your team is, how bad your quarterback is? You got a great running back. You got a wide receiver who, if he shuts his mouth and plays football, is actually pretty good. But you guys got a lot of problems in New York, and you're missing the playoffs for 6 out of the last 7 years. So I don't know. If I'm a fan of the Giants, I think I'm worried more about what the Giants are going to do and not really worried too much about the Cowboys because we're going to playoffs. In a couple weeks, I'm going to be rooting for my team to beat probably Seattle, and Eli's going to be in Mexico somewhere surfing. I don't know, but he won't be playing football. So that's it. As far as I'm concerned, the discussion is over. I don't think it's kind of like when Nas came out with Ether. There's really no coming back. Until your team actually wins a meaningful game and is relevant again, I don't think we need to keep talking football, cuz. But I love you. Tell the family hello. And have a very, very Merry Christmas. That said, let me bring on Dr. Train. Let me bring on K-Star. JB, I don't know if you weren't a part of the discussion. I just wanted you to kind of hear it out. I don't know if you had anything to add, but it was kind of, you know, I just wanted you to kind of hear it firsthand. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was able to carve out 2 minutes during the day today waiting for software to update and happened to stumble upon it, and I thought it was hilarious, the back and forth, the gibbering and the jabbering that was going on. I'll just add my 2 cents in and say this, and then we'll move on to bigger and better discussions. Never mind the Super Bowls, never mind Giants beating the Patriots. If we're talking Cowboys and Giants, let's talk about head-to-head. So head-to-head, if my numbers are correct, Cowboys lead the series 65-46-2. And I'm also looking to see every decade, with the exception of the 2000s, the Cowboys have a winning percentage against the Giants. Monday Night Football, they're 8-3 against the Giants. Sunday Night Football, they're 8-4 against the Giants. I really don't need to go into postseason stuff. It's just, you've already touched upon it. It's unnecessary. Not to mention, this season, Cowboys have already beaten the Giants once. And looking at the standings, Cowboys are in first place right now. The Giants are in last place right now. There's really nothing else to talk about. We can move on.
Let us move on. I think the point's been proven. But we love you, cuz. We really do.
Yes, we do. We do.
And, you know, we will always be connected because we both lost our dads within a couple weeks of each other. So we will always be connected. But when it comes to football, anyway. Yeah. Train.
In the words of Martin, in the words of Martin, you're still my boy.
All right. Are you guys there? Train. K-Star. Train.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's up, y'all?
Oh, I'm here.
Right.
You guys are good with your family quarrels?
Oh, yeah, it's over. It's done. I mean, he'll come back with something, but I've said my piece. PMV,
AKA Family Feud.
I know I could have just called Steve Harvey and let him, you know, do something here. But anyway, it's so, you know, we've got to start off at the top now that we're actually on to the show. Anybody want to call in 347-838-9525? That's 347-838-9525 if you want to call in. But, you know, we've got to give credit where credit is due this week.
And I like to dance. Running the ball is like Mickey Mouse Man. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl shot.
All right. I can't do the whole song unless y'all win the Super Bowl. But I gave you a little more because y'all won your division. Congratulations, Dr. Train.
Appreciate it.
So far, great, great season. And you know, I give you extra love because you guys have been bottom dwellers and you know, you've gone through a lot since Lovey was fired. Hey, man, you know, I know it must be feeling good, man. I know it must be feeling good. Go ahead. Give us your thoughts on being the AFC North champion.
It is a good feeling. It honestly is. I'm really just going to come from the standpoint of finally watching us get a GM, actually go draft the talent that we needed, getting the right coaching staff in there, I think it's the best trade that was made before the season started, getting Khalil Mack. You added a tremendous pass rusher to a defense that was already top 10. Oh, is that somebody got background noise? I keep hearing something.
No, I don't hear anything.
You're good.
Okay. But yeah, and it finally feels good to get past your kryptonite per se, because even if we win the division, but we don't beat Green Bay in the process, it's not the same feeling. But
yeah,
playing Green Bay the way we played them at the beginning of the season, knowing that we was gonna come with that same intensity the second time around and learn from our mistakes, yeah, they sealed the deal. And, Sunday felt good. My wife actually sat up here and watched the game with me, cheering for my team. It was cute.
Oh, that's nice, man.
Surprised I was able to watch the game, you know what I mean?
Nice. But, man, seriously, we now, and I don't think, you know, but every injury can decimate any team and keep you from, you know, from making it to the postseason and from doing well that season. But I really, really feel like Pace has established something in Chicago that will last. You know, a lot of our players are young and they're actually playing really well. And I haven't even checked, but I'm looking forward to see what the Pro Bowl list look like this year. The first time we're going to have multiple Bears going to the Pro Bowl in a long time. So,
well, since you brought up the Pro Bowl, I happen to have the Pro Bowl rostered right here in front of me. So let's look at the NFC. I'm looking for just – there's five Cowboys, by the way, but we'll get to that shortly. Let's look at Bears. I'm looking at offense first, and I don't see anybody on offense. Let's go to defense, and Khalil Mack, Kyle Fuller, Eddie Jackson.
You mean to tell me they did not send Akeem Hicks? Wow. Wow.
Oh, yeah, he's third. Interior lineman.
Okay.
He's there. Okay. He's the third one. I missed him. Akeem Hicks behind Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox, which, I mean, can't necessarily.
Yeah.
That's not a bad place to be behind those two guys.
And, and return specialist Tariq Cohen. Yeah. Love
it. I don't see that.
Five players. Got to scroll down to special teams, bro. Special teams.
Oh, you know what? I didn't get special teams, did I? I just did it. Literally, I got the text just before the show came on, and so I made print screens real quick. Okay, so hey, you know, and I'll just say this, man. Get through this
yeah.
season, man. Don't be worrying about the future. You're talking about, you know, sustaining it. Hey, you got a lot left to do this year. You know.
Well, you know, T, you said last week, worry about what's behind me. Listen, man, I understand where you're coming from, but if we're a one and gone, then it's for naught. You know, we do need sustainment because going up against Green Bay, going up against Minnesota every year, we need sustainment. And so I feel like we have a roster that has sustainment. And I think that's important, even including what's happening this season.
Okay, so
I'm not because we're about this year, but I am glad of what I see. It looks like it's a sustaining roster and not just this season only.
You just won the division. Enjoy your division win. Get in the playoffs, make some noise. I mean, this game, look at what happened to the Eagles in 1 year. Look what happened to the Jaguars in 1 year.
I understand. It's not about worrying about next year. I'm speaking on what I've seen my team go through. I've seen my team not have talent. I've seen my team be bottom feeders season after season after season, having a GM that constantly draft players that don't stick, seeing an entire draft class after 2 to 3 years just go. And this is the first time where it looks like, wow, the past two drafts, it looks like we actually got some talent that will stick around. That's what I'm saying.
No, I hear you. What I'm saying is you don't – You're worrying about something that you really don't know what's going to happen.
You're using the wrong word. You keep saying worry. I'm not worried. I'm actually speaking
the
fact. I think that's okay.
Okay.
I believe that is okay.
I think I've been there, and the Bears really have never had this type of situation. So I'm making a suggestion from a friend. Enjoy where you're at. Just enjoy this ride, because no matter what you think may happen next year, we don't know. You don't know. I don't know. We don't know. Maybe they'll sustain it, and this can turn into 2, 3, 4, 5 years but we don't know. But what you do know is you are the champs to death. What you do know is you're going to be hosting a playoff game. Do know is there's an outside chance of you getting the first round bye. And my suggestion is don't be worried about – okay, I'm saying worrying. Don't be thinking next couple of years. You in a good situation, right? You're in a situation where I wish I was. Look what happened to my team. And we got the youngest team in the NFL. You think I give a shit about that right now? When we stuck it up on Sunday? Oh.
We'll
discuss it right
now. I understand where you're coming from, but I've been a team seriously devoid of talent.
Ride,
so
brother.
I'm gonna I actually am every single bit of it.
When I was a fan in the 90s, I made a mistake of just, you know, and in the 90s we had the youngest team in the NFL. And I just was like, oh yeah, Jimmy and this, that, and I just knew next 5, 6, 7 years. And, you know, but then Jimmy left, and then, you know, things happened, and Switzer, and, you know, next thing you know, you know, we're sitting there with Dave Campbell as a coach and 5-11, and I'm like, well, what happened? And I look back on it, and I just wish I had lived in the moment more. I guess that's what I'm saying. I wish I'm giving you. I wish I had really enjoyed. And had I known, 23 years, we don't even sniff a Super Bowl. We don't even sniff a conference championship game. 23 years. I'm sitting here salivating, missing that feeling of, yep, you know the Cowboys are going to be there, man. It was such a great ride. So that's just a suggestion. I mean, you grown man, do what you want. This is just a suggestion.
I hear you suggesting. Is you making the suggestion as if I'm not going to enjoy it? That's what's strange about the suggestion. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. I've talked so much trash for the past 3 weeks; it's been ridiculous.
Yeah,
and garbage is coming out.
Yeah.
It's not gonna stop. Garbage in, garbage out of this. Yeah.
Let's switch over to K-Star Steelers. Got to win. And K-Star, how do you feel about getting a monkey off your back this weekend?
Can you do me a favor and play the Unleash Hell clip for me? Can we get
that on now?
He wants
to. Can you do me a favor and get that Mike Tomlin Unleash Hell clip? Can we play that?
I just told the guys I appreciate the spirit and energy in which they fought. Please don't talk to me about more victories and things of that nature. That'd be disrespectful to those guys in the room. We didn't get the job done. We came up short. We accept responsibility for that. You know, we will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December because we have to.
All right, there you go.
Appreciate that. So Mike Tomlin called
about
redemption. I feel great. I feel great. I'm so excited. I'm about to cut you off real quick because Mike Tomlin called leading up to this Sunday, a week in which he was shrouded with probably the most criticism he's had in his career to date. He called it Redemption Sunday, again, leading up to the game. And not just for him, for the team, given that slide that they were on. Getting that win was huge, obviously. From a standings perspective, from a morale perspective, and while he said, you know, we're not playing for morale, we definitely are playing to make the playoffs in Unleash Hell in December, and that's what the Steelers need to do. And that's what they did on a rival that, you know, some people in the media were saying weren't actually a real rival because the Steelers had a 2-11 record against them last, you know, 12 or 13 years. But while those games were close yesterday, or Sunday, also a close game. Steelers got it done. They should have won last year, too, with the whole Jesse James debacle. But focusing on Sunday, it was great to see the Steelers' defense turn up and play such a great game. They've been leading the NFL in sacks throughout most of the year, and sometimes you would forget that was even a thing, and I brought that up last week, simply because there would be too many spurts where they would just not match that intensity early later on in the game as you know, as they applied early in games. And throughout the game on Sunday, it was full intensity for 60 minutes. The team responded really well. And I'm really hopeful. James Conner set to come back on Sunday. I won't get too far ahead of myself, but they needed that so desperately. And for them to deliver and have such a great game, especially on defense, was super exciting to see. And it was Redemption Sunday.
Well, it was a good win, big win at home. I did pick the Steelers. I mean, I'm sorry. I picked the Patriots based on, you know, the track record. And it's kind of interesting that even when I'm wrong, I'm kind of still right. Because all I've been hearing for the last few days is, and actually for the last couple of weeks, is kind of what I've been saying. It's just becoming more and more apparent that, you know, while Tom Brady is still a good quarterback, while Tom Brady is still, you know, better than most, he's not the Tom Brady that we have, you know, a year ago won the MVP. He's just not. And that game, there were several throws and plays. You can just see that it just was. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not saying the Steelers didn't earn that win. I'm not taking anything away. But I just think that issue is, it's pretty clear that Tom Brady is no longer elite. He's good, and he's probably still good enough to win. You know, he's still going to win some games, and the team is still good enough to make some noise in the postseason. But, you know, what we're used to seeing from Tom Brady, we're not seeing as much of these days. We're seeing bad passes, missed passes, him looking uncomfortable in the pocket and not being as, he's not a mobile quarterback, but he was always, he's kind of like Peyton Manning, right? Always knew to take a couple of steps here and there, just enough to give himself, buy himself a little, that split extra second to make that read. And we're not seeing as much of that either. So even though I thought they had enough to go in and beat your team, do you now understand, and do you now concede that this one time elite Superman quarterback is now on the decline? That's the UK star.
It's to me. Well, I'll say that he has been playing well recently. I think on Sunday was more, of course I'm biased, but I think more to do with the Steelers defense. T.J. Watt, I mean, he had little time to throw throughout the game. T.J. Watt and Hayward were all over him. However, there's no denying either from a statistical standpoint and even from an eye test standpoint, the level of play has declined this year. I still think he's – I'll put it like this. To me, he's still a four horseman. You know, it hasn't fallen off – his level of play hasn't fallen off a cliff like Peyton Manning did his final year. He's not at that, at that point. Do you still – when we talk about you, do you still consider him a four horseman?
I would say only by career he's a four horseman. I think this year if you picked four quarterbacks, I don't think he'd be one of them. I mean, yep. Certainly Mahomes, Breeze immediately – Andrew Luck over his last six or seven games is lighting it up.
Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers, thank you. I knew there was another one. Phillip Rivers, I don't see him as top four. Even eye test right now. Like I said, it's hard because we're so used. It's the same thing we dealt with Peyton. Same thing we dealt with Brett Favre. I mean, it comes a point in time where the decline is real, and, we think we see it, we think we see it, but then all of a sudden, okay, I mean, the Steelers, hey, not taking anything away. Y'all won that game, and that's that. But, this team's got five losses. This team lost two games in a row in December. Like, that never happens. Like, there's all of these first times in a long time with this Patriots team. And, with Tom Brady, we're used to, 12 wins a year and, first round bye and, all of this stuff. Don't look like it's happening this year. And his stats are good. He's got good numbers, but they're not elite.
Yep.
And I guess that's my point is, I think there's no denying that he's a four horseman because he's the greatest of all time. We kept Peyton Manning in there until he retired. And Peyton Manning, his last 2 years, was not a four horseman by statistics. He was a four horseman by reputation. He was a four horseman because even when he wasn't very good, he was cerebral enough to still go out there and win a Super Bowl. He was still enough out there with poor stats to go win a game. And I think Brady can still play well enough to win games and make an impact. But, now if you said, okay, if you have a game that you need to win, is Tom Brady the guy you go to? All of a sudden now, maybe he's not. Maybe it's Phillip Rivers. Maybe it's Mahomes. Maybe it's – well, for me, it's Breeze. I mean, he's had a bit of a decline the last few weeks himself. I'm beginning to wonder, did Dallas show a blueprint? Or is this guy starting to – is he hitting the wall or something now? Because his last 3 weeks has not been very good. What's that?
Yeah. So Big Ben, bro, second in the league in passing yards and 30 touchdowns this year. So,
cool.
So Big Ben, man, he's second in got 30 touchdown passes and second in passing yards. He's doing his thing too.
Well, there you go. So
yeah.
I think we're seeing. I think we're going to see. I think we're transitioning right now. I think we're going to see. we're going to see Brady and Breeze and, dare I say, Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. You know, again, it's hard to accept that some of these guys are getting up in age, and maybe, you know, this game is a funny game, and you get hit, and you get hit, and you get hit. There's no telling how those hits are going to affect each player. You know, there's no telling. And Brady's done a good job of avoiding the big hit, but I think we're starting to see a lot of these young guys are really starting to light it up. We might be seeing a change in the guard in the next couple of years. We might be selecting a new forward. I don't know. Train, any thoughts on this quarterback discussion?
I agree with that very last statement you just said. There's a new batch of quarterbacks coming in, and it's inevitable. These guys can't play forever, but you just enjoy what you have seen from them. You enjoy the performances that they have, what they've done on the field. So, but there's a new batch coming in, and so at some point, all four of those four horsemen that we'd call will be replaced. Heck, Peyton Manning went out, we replaced him. Tom Brady may be next. Aaron Rodgers, who knows? But no, I don't disagree with anything you guys have said. Just hope one of my quarterback is in that list of four horsemen. We'll see.
Man, you got some ways to go, bro. Let's calm down.
See, there you go. See, your team can't do anything without
true.
A run game
well,
anyway.
Well,
you know, taking shots.
What? We haven't had a run game.
Shots fired, and
you
ain't even locked that division down. I'm just saying, you fired shots, man, telling me to calm down. Like, I can't have hope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I'm tired. You've had too much hope lately, all right? Let's pipe down a little bit with all the
Don't
hope.
Get mad because we question it. Just be glad you ain't have the players.
Yeah, K-Star, this may not be the week, man. This ain't the week, man. Let him have his moment, you know? You bad choice. You know what I mean? Let him have his moment. Just saying.
Let me have my moment. We lost three straight, and now we beat the Patriots. Damn it.
Did you win the division?
It's been a while since I've been on the winning. It's been a while since we've had a win,
right?
You are still in the possibility that you will not make the playoffs
exactly.
after this win.
Yeah,
you are still in a situation
it.
Where
we
you
will.
Can be on the outside looking in. Yeah, bro,
you
still skating on thin ice.
You can't get his moment when his team clinched the division and your team hasn't quit. You're not in the playoffs yet. You're getting the playoffs.
Hey, man, this segment was Steelers specific, so, you know.
Yeah,
you
know. And I switched to talking quarterbacks because – We went
no,
to
no,
Steelers
no. Train.
Quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
Did
Train had to throw Mitch Trubisky, four horsemen. It was just too much.
I just said I hope he's in the conversation down the road. I know you are. I know you are. You need to be holding up that window up. That's what you need to be doing because that motherfucker is coming down real quick. You better put a prop, a book, or something in there. You better get some help because, man. Y'all, ain't no Eric, ain't no Breeze coming through there right now. You got the Colts, the Titans, and you got 3-8-6 teams knocking on the door. Not to mention Baltimore is like divot at the heel. Boy.
And don't forget about the Browns, even though they're two games out. Who would have thought?
They sure are.
Be in the discussion.
Ravens mm-hmm.
They're on the pick six just because.
Well. I think, you know, the jabs are fun. I think we all know that the money is on the Steelers to find a way back into the playoffs. As much as I hate to admit it, I think that's where the good money lies. But, you know, anything's possible. But I tell you, I know a couple quarterbacks I don't ever expect to see as four horsemen. One, his name is Dak Prescott. The other one is Mitch Trubisky. Sorry, Train, but I don't think our quarterbacks are just destined to be four horsemen. Your quarterback's probably better than mine, but we have quarterback issues. We are fortunate to have a lot of other talent on our team, and when our quarterbacks make questionable choices, that we've got defenses and certain offensive weapons that can compensate, which leads me to my next topic. JB, I need your help here, man. You know, Cowboys win 5 straight. They lose, which was not a shock to go into Indy and lose to a team that's won 6 out of 7 and lose to Andrew Luck, who's looking like Andrew Luck from a few years ago again. It wasn't a shock to lose to the Colts, whose defensive coordinator just came from Dallas, spent 7 years with Dallas as linebackers coach and passing game coordinator. Don't ask me how he had both positions, but that's what he did. So as we saw Tennessee do this to the Patriots with Vrabel, it wasn't shocking to see that they had Dallas at number. What was shocking was the fact that Dallas first shutout in 15 years, like couldn't score 8 points. Not 8 points. That's
what happened.
So yeah. I need Jake to come in here and help me out because the Eagles and the Redskins both won, so they're now a game back. Now we're faced with a must win because you don't want this lingering to the last week of the season. You just don't. You want to take care of your business at home Sunday. So Jay, I set you up nice. Help me out here, bro.
Well, I too am surprised at the fact that they put up a goose egg. I wasn't surprised either that the Colts would win. I mean, they've been playing really good football, consistent football lately. Andrew Luck is looking like the Andrew Luck of old. T.Y. Hilton is looking like the T.Y. Hilton of old, even with the ankle injury. And I wish I was able to join last week because here's the problem that I have and have had. Amari Cooper is definitely number one receiver, and he has been a spark, to say the least, to the Cowboy offense. But the question remains, and I think we're finding it out a little bit, what happens when you neutralize Amari Cooper? And I think we caught a glimpse of it last week, this past Sunday. It looked like the same offense of old, at least from a statistical standpoint, because unfortunately I didn't get to see the game, but just from a statistical perspective, it seemed like the Cowboys of old pre-Amari Cooper. That's not good news. There needs to be another weapon, and that's the fear I had was the Eagles game should have been a blowout. The Cowboys should have just annihilated them. The Saints game, quite frankly, should have been a blowout, should have annihilated them. The fact they only won those two games by 3 and 6 points respectively had me very concerned on the offense. Defense seemed like it would be on point, and it has been. But they need another player besides Amari to step up, because if you neutralize him and you don't feed Zeke enough, we're back to the same old Cowboy offense. We're back to being conservative. So they have to find somebody else to pick up the slack. And they also need to find a way to get special teams involved, because we are getting close to the playoffs now, trying to get the division title, trying to get in and make a deep run. You have to be successful on all three fronts, offense, defense, and special teams. And I don't know about you, but I have yet to hear or see anything from a special teams perspective outside of missed field goals, blocked field goals, and things of that nature. So they need to play better from the offense and special teams and get some depth going on the wide receiver front.
So the question was, help me out, make me feel better. You've done none of the above, none. You've done none of it.
You're welcome.
You have not made me feel a little better.
You're welcome.
So I guess I've got to take this on and make myself feel better. I opened it up for you to help me out here, and instead you made me feel worse. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it, man. Merry Christmas.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. You're welcome.
I love it.
All right,
I do what I do because I do what I does.
Yeah, you did what you did, too. I'm going to say that with all the respect in my heart, I disagree with my brother. I think they have the weapons that they need. They just didn't execute. And, you know, you won 5 games, including beating the Saints and the Eagles. Yeah, probably the score didn't reflect, you know, how the game should have been played out. But, you know, you won some very big games with Amari Cooper. And so Amari Cooper has 4 catches for 32 yards. It doesn't mean now we need to go find another weapon. You got the weapons. You got Cole Beasley. You got, you know, the game a week ago, you had 11 targets to your tight ends. So your tight ends are starting to wake up. If there was a spot for me to worry, it would be, are they going to burn Zeke out before they even get into the playoffs? Why the hell Jason Garrett had Zeke in that game late when you're down 23-0? What did you think was going to happen, JG? Did you really think you were going to get 3 possessions and get 3 touchdowns and 3? Yang scored 1 touchdown all game, but now in the last 3 to 4 minutes of the game, you're going to get 3 possessions, 3 touchdowns, and 3 2-minute conversions? Like, just a little bit to say, you know what, we're going to pull a couple of these guys and rest them up and regroup because we're going to win this division next week at home. But no, let's play everybody to the last minute for nothing. That was just stupid. Just stupid. My optimism comes from the fact that the team did win 5 in a row. And when their backs have been against the wall, they have shown to fight back and play well. And, you know, they go to play a Colts team. This isn't a rival. They knew they had a 2-game lead. You know, they got a little reading a little bit too much of their press, the nickname Hot Boys for the defensive line and all this. You know, I follow this team as close as I can follow from Bristol, Connecticut. And I was hearing it made me think of, and the ESPN just did a whole thing on it. We've had Eric Clemens on this show, the Mike Tyson fight in Japan against Buster Douglas. It so made me think. And the reason is because you go in reading too much of your own press and feeling really good about yourself and forgetting what you did to get to this point. And you go in there and the team kicks your ass. And that's really what they did. They beat you by doing what you do. They put pressure on the quarterback, which is what Dallas has been doing all year, and they ran the football with some guy named Mac. Okay? It wasn't Khalil Mack. It wasn't Return of the Mac. You know what I mean? It wasn't Ben Mac. It wasn't Bob McAdoo. You know what I mean? You know, it was some Mac guy that came in and ran for 139 yards. The first guy to run for 100 yards on Dallas all year. It was, to me, after I had to go through my little bit of, okay, Cowboys lost, Redskins won, Eagles won, yeah, we'll get into fantasy football in a few minutes because a little bit there, too, to discuss. But after I went through all that, I said, okay, we're going to take this ball. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to throw it away. The other issue that I want to take on real quick is I know what the Cowboys meant, but I don't like that they came out and publicly said it. You guys get paid a lot of money to play this game. I don't want to hear my team come out and say this was a good loss. I know what you meant. I know it was a wake-up call. I know it was, yeah, I get all that, all those hyperboles, and I get all of that. That ain't what you say in an interview. You know, maybe we needed this, maybe we needed to, you know. No. This ain't basketball where you play 82 games. This isn't baseball where you pay 162 games. You play 16 games. The division was on the line. No, you didn't need. You shouldn't need a wake up call. You could have the division. And I'm sorry. I will take this to my grave. If these two teams played again tomorrow, the Cowboys would whoop their candy ass. Whoop them. Not just beat them. They would destroy them. They are the better team. But this weren't on Sunday. Coaches came in determined and mollywopped. But I don't want to hear this. It was a good loss. Zeke, Tank Lawrence, all y'all Pro Bowlers, congratulations. I don't want to hear that crap. I don't want to hear that crap. Any comments from the peanut gallery? Train, K-Star?
Peanut gallery. Hey man, she'll listen right. To the peanut gallery. She'll listen to the peanut
well,
gallery.
Really more directed believe to I was only going to
believe. Believe
really
I was going. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's more welcome, you. Jay.
Your little post about wasn't I right? Wasn't I right?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Wasn't I?
I guess I was.
No,
like I said,
we were
shooting through text messages. I was really trying to. I was trying to follow you guys' game. At least kind of at this. Did I have you guys on the? Yeah, I think I had you guys on the TV. But I was trying to follow you guys' game and see what happens when us. When I saw that y'all weren't scoring, it was a bit of a shock. So I guess without trying to go through every detail, just what happened offense? I know you went for a few fourth downs that you didn't make, but like for the just get to the point where it's just where you don't score anything.
Listen, the first half we dominated time of possession, moved the ball up and down the field like nothing. The field goal kick that was blocked was low. I don't know what Maher, they cut Dan Bailey. They said this is the guy. He has been okay, but not great. I'm not sure with all the great decisions that this team has made roster wise. I'm questioning this one, to be totally honest with you. But to me, the play of the game, to me, that they just never really recovered from, and this is where I say Dak needs to be better. You've got a third and goal, and they did a nice little trick play, and they had the fullback wide open in the flat, and he didn't make the catch. And it was like K-Star dancing because he was trying to clap, and he just missed time.
I saw that. I saw that play.
Yeah, okay. Just like K-Star. And if you watch the play, there's a tight end running in the back of the end zone. I didn't catch which tight end it was. Wide open. And Dak didn't
neither
go there. Singham didn't go there. But that should have been the pass right there. Because this guy had caught one pass all year, maybe two. So why you decide to call the play? I don't get – this guy is not – he's a blocker. And he doesn't play that much. He plays special teams, and every once in a while he'll come in and block. He's a fullback. And why all of a sudden they decide to throw him that ball, I have no idea. But that was a touchdown, and then they went for it on fourth down, and Zeke got crushed. And, after the game just never really – they made plays here and there, but penalty. It was just one of those things where they just never really got back on track. In the second half, then the time of possession flipped, and then they started running Mac, and Cowboys, they couldn't tackle. I mean, it was a snowball because they came out looking good. And they missed that field goal. Okay. And had they scored that touchdown, I think we'd be talking about a different outcome. But
I noticed.
What?
I was going to say real quick, I didn't watch the game. I plan on watching it because, honestly, I expected it to at least be a higher scoring. But looking at some stats right here, I mean, every single one of Dallas's possessions, they actually did at least get to the other side of the field, which is rare. Every single one, they got to the first drive, they got to the opponent, it was 30-yard line before a block field goal. They got to the 5-yard line that second drive that he was just talking about where they missed it. Oh, they had a turnover on downs to the opponent 47, to 41, 39, 41. It seems like whenever they cross the other cold side of the field, they just bog down in key situations on third and fourth down. Just a quick look at this data. Obviously, I didn't watch the game, but it looks like they didn't have much problems moving the ball until it was like key situational football type down and distance. So,
first half, they were moving the ball just fine.
To play better. Yeah.
And they were down 10-0. But then the second half, the Colts came out, got the ball first. And, Dallas never really got their legs underneath them in the second half. And, I think it's, similar. There have been games like that. Every team has had a game like that. Every team. So, you win 5 games, you're riding high, and then you come crashing down to earth. Now all you got to do is pick yourself up. And if you can't go home and beat Tampa Bay on Sunday, then you don't deserve to win a division. You don't deserve to be a playoff team. If you can't beat that team in your stadium on Sunday, I don't really care what else happens. I'm not going to be happy. I don't care if Philly and Washington both lose and we still back into the playoffs. I won't have much faith that this team will do anything in the postseason if you go and let a not very good Tampa Bay team come into your stadium when you're playing to win the division. You got a 1 o'clock game, and you win, and the division is yours. T-shirts and hats are printed up, ready to go. They were ready to go last week. Man, let's put them away to this week. Go ahead, you got. They need to go and handle their business. That's really all I got to say. We discussed it, thinking about the damn game. All right. Let's move on. Let's jump to some special segments. JB, you were out last week. I don't know if you're prepared to do Phenom or Peon this week.
Yeah, I show up. I show up with my hard hat, so I'm ready. So let's get right to it. So Phenom of the week is going to be twofold. I have to give half of it to the Bears and Khalil Mack just because they're getting that monkey off the back. Folks, seeing them play against Green Bay, I don't know, a lot of folks may have had Green Bay winning just because they know how Aaron Rodgers is, but to win against them, clinch the division, Mack having 2.5 sacks, got to give it to him. Also, Derrick Henry of the Titans, he's combined for, I think, 408 yards over the last two games, and he had 170 and a couple touchdowns. Got to give it to him, really keeping the Titans in the playoff hunt. Peons of the week. Oh, boy, where do I go with this one? Gosh, I had that one and I lost it. Give me a second on that one. Peons of the week. Well, I mean, part of it will be the Cowboys. It'll be my boys for putting up that goose egg, for not fully executing and trying to get over that hump and never really did. I was not expecting a shutout. T was expecting a shutout. I was expecting a better performance offensively. So I have to go that route with it.
Olawale.
I know there's some others. I just can't think of any.
Olawale is the number 49 fullback who not only didn't catch the ball, but if you watch him, I mean, if he's not on the next episode of Come On, Man, then they ain't doing their job. Because he didn't even, like I said, it was like he was trying to clap and mistimed his clap. Like he was clapping to the wrong beat because he went and closed his hands too fast. And the ball hadn't even gotten there yet, and he was closing his hands. It was bad. So for me, he's peon because, come on, man, you got to catch that ball. You didn't put your hands on it. I mean, that could have made a little bit of a better pass, but it was still very catchable.
I know who the other one was too. It was Jared Goff. He's not playing well. I mean, bottom line, he is not playing well at all. He is making the Rams really look susceptible right now and vulnerable. I think he's thrown seven picks over the last 2 weeks, and they've lost both of those games. I was surprised to see the Eagles come in and pull out a victory for the second year in a row with old Saint Nick heading up the offense for the Eagles. So that was the other one. I just couldn't put my name to it. So he's just the peon of the week as well for the turnovers, not taking care of the football, and just not playing to the level that we've seen him play earlier in this season.
All right. K-Star, are you ready?
Yes, sir. All right. Kicking off Bonafide, I'm going to start with two players who did not make the Pro Bowl from my Steelers on defense. Not quite sure why. And we're talking about T.J. Watt and Joe Hayden. T.J. Watt and Joe Hayden both were key on Sunday. We saw what they did to Tom Brady. Watt had one sack on Tom and also had three QB hits, one resulting in an interception by Mr. Joe Hayden. And, I mean, T.J. Watt on the year, 11 sacks, 20 quarterback hits, so that's 2.2 impact plays per game against the quarterback. He's number 10 in the NFL in that statistic. I'm not sure how he didn't make the Pro Bowl, but he's been an elite pass rusher for the number one ranked team in the NFL in terms of generating sacks on a per game basis. The guy's a beast, second year player. First year player, he was awesome as a defense rookie. Had seven sacks his first season, despite playing half the games in schedule, eight. So shout out to TJ Watt, keeps getting better, and he and Joe Hayden, pretty much a leader on defense for the Steelers. And real quick on Joe Hayden, this dude only allows 30 yards per game, which is third in the NFL, amongst starting cornerbacks. You know, he allows only 5.3 yards per target, which is fourth. The guy's in a monster for the Steelers defense. Definitely by far and away our best secondary player. Always trust him to shadow and lock down his side of the field. So the guy, give them credit, because they, without them, we only scored 14 points. So definitely needed an elite effort from those two, and we got it. Boner front. So Tevin Coleman, if you were a fantasy owner this season, probably were disappointed as a Tevin Coleman owner. Tevin Coleman has always been a super talented guy coming out of Indiana. He was a second-round draft pick. And this was his first year, really, as a featured runner with Devontae Freeman missing the year. So he really had an opportunity to shine and make himself a lot of money in the free agent market this coming offseason. Not sure he did that. Total yards, he's averaging 70 yards per game, which is solid, but that's rushing and receiving, only 50 yards per game on the ground, not getting it done. On the NFL's 32nd ranked rush offense, that just isn't cutting, bro. I mean, he's had six games this year with less than 50 yards rushing. Not a featured runner. Although he had a big game against Arizona, that is fool's gold. Arizona's a 32nd ranked rush defense in the league. That's like the least he could do at this point, is have one good game against a terrible rush defense. But, Tevin Coleman, disappointing fantasy owners this year. Probably cost himself a lot of money, which is too bad. Really talented player out of Indiana and has elite traits, but can't quite put together as a running back for whatever reason.
Wait, he plays for Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Wasn't he like third string before injuries?
He's the backup.
No, he was.
That's why I'm trying to understand what your segment is about, bro. Because a backup, it's on bonus. He's a backup. He didn't beat out Freeman for the start.
So
Devontae Freeman,
starting running back. Who did
you expect? Hold on, where have you been? Where have you been? Hold on, where have you been?
No,
Tevin Coleman and Devontae.
Exactly,
stop. Let me talk. Let me respond. Let me respond to your question.
I don't get
Tevin Coleman. Okay, Bonafide. First of all, Bonafide and Bonafront. Who is legitimate and also is it legitimate going forward? Tevin Coleman had a monster game, 145 rushing yards against the Cardinals. However, he is fool's gold, right? So I target players who often are coming out with good performances, who I don't think likely will repeat itself for one reason or another. Now, Tevin Coleman, who you say is a backup running back, the dude was, first of all, was a second-round draft pick, and he and Devontae Freeman spearheaded one of the best rush attacks in the NFL just 2 years ago that led him to the Super Bowl. He's always been a big part of their offense, definitely during Mike Shanahan era, and he's had his opportunity this year as the number one ranked runner, or as a future back in that offense, and he just hasn't got it done. And also, bro, it's week 16 or week 15. What do you want? What do you want from me? I mean, there's only so many players left to go through.
Well, find somebody else, man. Keep sifting through the flowers. Find somebody else, because I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I think I wouldn't put him as going up front. I think he is similar to Tariq Cohen with the Bears. He is more of the scat back. He is really not truly a featured back. That role would go to Devontae Freeman, and he's been out. But I also want to say I think it's more reflective of the Falcons' offense and how pass happy they are. I don't think it's a reflection on the fact that he's not a good running back. I think it's just that Matt Ryan is the one that's going to be slinging the rock, and the play calling that they have doesn't feature him in the running back capacity that you're probably expecting. So if you want to put Bona front on anything, I put it on the play calling more so than on the player.
Yeah, I agree with JB. I think he's a victim of the scheme and the fact that, you know, he is not the feature back. You know, yes, he's played, you know.
This year, he had feature back opportunity.
Okay, but he wasn't. The scheme was not for him to be the feature back. He got feature back opportunity after being the backup because that was Devontae. I had Devontae Freeman on my team, like on my fantasy team, and it was Devontae Freeman's job. You know, it's kind of like last year when we argued about Zeke and Bell, and you kept saying to me that Bell was a better back because he's catching balls out of the backfield. And I said, well, the Cowboys aren't using him that way. So this year you see Zeke catching balls out of the backfield because it's part of the scheme. Well, you know, I think the Falcons' scheme has been very pass-happy. Thus, Matt Ryan, with a crappy team, is like second in the league in passing yards. If you guys can keep me honest on that, but I think he's second or third in the league in passing yards on a crappy Atlanta team because they're pass-happy. So I think he's a victim of the scheme more so than a lack of talent. I think it's just the scheme, is it? They're not trying to make him Devontae Freeman. They're trying to win with Matt Ryan's arm, and clearly that ain't working. Speaking of throwing front, y'all know how I feel about Matt Ryan. Stupidest MVP or whatever.
Is Tevin Coleman bona fide? Is that what the three of you are saying right now?
I would say, I mean, it's your segment. You do what you want. I would just disagree with you.
He's just neither, man. Like,
right.
It'd be different if he was, if he took over the feature back. I mean, if he won the rollout right and they started out with him as the starter and you got to this point, you say he's on the front, I'd be like, okay. He was always the backup.
He was drafted to be the starter, first of all. Devontae Freeman, got lucky with him.
I get all that, but in that offense, on that roster, he didn't beat out Freeman. Freeman was the man, and he complimented Freeman. It was a different running style, and so with two different running backs, two different running styles, you know, that's how they attack teams. And by himself, it's different when someone takes the role by themselves. So, yeah, not bona fide or bona front, just a running back.
Right.
He's a free agent. He's a free agent this offseason, so teams gotta make the call whether they feel he's bona fide or bona front. They're gonna throw money his way, so we'll see. But he didn't do much to impress with his opportunity.
He's gonna be bona front street then.
Okay. Before we do train segment, real quick, fantasy football. So Dr. Train held down his end of the deal. And we'll be representing. I'm announcing it because it's not right for you to announce the fact that you're going to the AFL Championship since you run the league. So I'll announce it. But Train is going to the EAFL Fantasy Football Championship against Quiver, who beat me. My players didn't show up, so wasn't even close. But, hey, I had a good year, and I'm happy with it. But congratulations to Train for making it to the championship. And it should be a good battle between him and Primer. Primer has won twice?
Yes, he's won
at
least two.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have one already, right, Shane?
Nah, man. I made it to one against your good friend. You know what I'm saying? Your good friend, damn, I can't even remember his nickname now. I'm so hard about it. He used to be your co-commissioner at one point.
Oh, what can I get?
Yeah.
whatever.
I lost against Coach K in the finals one time.
Hey, we need to go back because you're saying I only won one, and I'm pretty sure I've won two. We got to go back and recreate and document all our champions.
Because isn't it stored on NFL.com?
Well, we were on Yahoo before that, though.
You won one, and then K-Star, and then you won one. K-Star joined that year, and then K-Star won the very next year.
The only repeated champions, I believe, are Pimmer and Little Giants.
And I do you have a list? Because I honestly think on this one you might be mistaken. I think I may have won twice. I really do. And I try to go through my whole email and see if I can.
NFL normally keeps a history.
Yeah, but we were on Yahoo.
We have one.
We were on Yahoo first.
So, so I'm looking at it. According to this, you guys have been in this league on NFL.com anyway since 2009. Is that right?
I thought you were able to bring the stuff over when you came, though. You moved. I thought you were able to.
Nah, there was no way to do that. They don't talk to each other.
Yeah, so.
Since 2009, anyway, T's won, T won in 2011.
Yeah.
Pimmer's won. Pimmer's won three times. Pimmer's the defending champion.
Yeah. And the first year of the league was 2008. Is it a 7 or 8?
On NFL.com, it's 2009, but that's NFL.com.
Yeah, but it was more than two years on Yahoo. See, I'm even wondering if you were even in the very beginning train, if you were even there.
The first person to run the league when I joined was Bama. And Bama had that funny roster with two quarterbacks in it. It was so quirky. And he ran it one year. And I took it over the very next year.
See, now I know you're missing because I ran it before Bama. So you're definitely – I started it, and I ran it first. So I just dig deep into my emails and see what I can find because I have all my emails.
That was the first – that was the first year that we took because we weren't playing fantasy football when we were playing Madden. So we took the people that was in Madden, our Madden group, and that became our fantasy football league, and the first person to run it at that time was Bama.
Yeah, I ran it before Bama, I'm telling you, because I started it.
It was probably before Train was playing in the league.
I'm thinking Train might have missed the season. But I have to. I'm going off of memory. And I'm not trying to make myself better than I am. I'm feeling really confident that I won two in the EAFL. And I know it wasn't two on NFL.com, but I have to go back and see if I can dig up. I tried looking over the weekend, but I pay for my Yahoo email. So when you pay for it, you get to keep them all. So I've got literally hundreds of thousands of emails. And I try to Google, like, Yahoo search to try to find, but it's hard to determine what word I would use that would show me. So I'm going to do some research. I will get back to you guys.
Okay. It'll definitely be before I joined you guys. Okay.
But on that note, I am going back to the NBX Fantasy Football Championship where I have won one. I've been three times. I went 3 years in a row. And on my third year back in 2013, I won, and I have not been back to championship since, but I will be back this Sunday. I'm very worried because Drew Brees has not played well, and I need Drew Brees to play well. but I am going back to that one. And
are you in it? Let me see.
What?
I never know who you are in this fish because I see a person named Krypton, I see a person named King Floyd, I see a person named EAFL. I was like,
EAFL is me.
You're EAFL.
Floyd, Team Floyd is JB, and Krypton Warriors is Daryl. And it's a total coincidence that he's the Krypton Warriors over there, and I'm Krypton in, like, total coincidence. Total.
And K-Star is not in the league, or? I can't remember.
Was that?
Was K-Star in his league or not in his league?
Yeah. He's in both leagues.
Which one? No, I'm in one. I'm only in one with you guys.
Oh, you're only in one? I thought you were in both.
No, I think we were talking about trying to get him in the other. And trust me, I believe you'll be more competitive than some of these folks I see, because to go 0-13 in a whole season, you ain't do something. Okay, you need to do something.
Like,
that doesn't make sense. You're supposed to at least win one or two games.
Yeah, exactly. And you can win. You can win three accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I was
really like
hoping, man. I wanted to play Train in the EAFL Championship, man. I wanted that one.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
It wasn't meant to be. So congratulations. And, hey, maybe we'll both win, you know, come in here our next show and both of us be winning fantasy
that
football.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
I would have
be.
To say I'm glad he changed the rule for the draft pick order. I thought that was a good move. Good guy that runs that league.
Yeah, he is good. He was I met him through JB. JB knows him and his whole I know them now, but it was originally JB's friends and stuff. So yeah, he's a good dude. Good family, good people. So
yep.
All right, Train, let's go through these let's go through this pick six. I'm gonna ask if we can kind of go through this kind of quick, brother. Me, brother has to get up. Hey, little quickie. I'm heading to New York tomorrow, and I don't try to talk much about my day job on the show, but as many of you know, I am a banker. I do work for Wells Fargo, and tomorrow morning we are doing a holiday giveaway, food pantry giveaway, and we're going to be on Good Morning America, the 8 o'clock segment tomorrow morning. I cannot guarantee that I will be on TV. I may or may not. We don't know who gets on and who doesn't. We may all be on. I don't know. Won't know till I get there, but I'll be there. So I have to get up really early tomorrow and drive to the train station, and take the train, and then Uber to the Hudson Yards where they film or broadcast Good Morning America. So I'm going to DVR it. You know, guys interested, you can catch us at 8 o'clock, my time segment. And, hey, you might see me on TV tomorrow. But that said, I'm going to ask Train if we can kind of double time it through these picks so we can get done with the show and brother can go horizontal
okay.
And catch some sleep.
Okay, we'll do. I will try and DVR it because that's 5 a.m. Yeah, now move on vacation.
Yep.
So week 15 results. Let's just say overall it was good games, good football this weekend. It really was. I know I definitely enjoyed being on the winning end of that. But as far as our pick 6+1 for week 15, K-Star out on top, pretty good at 5-5-2. T right behind him with 4-3, and both Jay and I came in at 2-5. Had to get back with y'all on the overall stat because I cannot find my other sheet that I wrote down to keep track.
Yeah, I can
track.
Help you out. I'm still in first place. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you did have more than one game lead on K-Star, so yeah, that would mean you are still in first place.
Yes.
I think I'm a game back.
Let's go.
You definitely gained some traction, though, at going 5-2. That was pretty impressive, especially with the number of upsets and the calls and these games. So week 16, let's just go through real quickly. It features most of the NFC East, and I did not. I included everyone except the Cowboys because I didn't see any of us picking against the Cowboys. But first, we got the Skins at the Titans. It's a big game for the Skins, big game for the Titans. Titans need to win to stay in contention. Skins actually need to win to stay in contention. I mean, this is – to me, it's a big game for two teams in two different conferences. So – real quickly going around, K-Star, JV, then T. Who we got? K-Star, that will be your moment right now.
Yeah, repeat the game.
It's Skins, Redskins against the Titans. And you're at the Titans. Redskins at Titans.
Oh, yeah. Give me Tennessee. Derrick Henry's on a roll. Washington's really beat up. Tennessee defense underrated. They can really – have these ugly games where they just control time possession and with their defense and Derrick Henry control the game. So I definitely like Tennessee to hold it down at home.
Hey, K-Star, you just saved the narrative, bro. We try to get through this kind of quick, so I can get through it. So
all right,
just make it fit.
All right, he picked the Titans. Jay, on you?
Yeah, Titans also.
T?
Unanimous, Titans.
All right, we're going all in on the Titans for everything that K-Star said. All right, this one, gosh, can't see. Oh, yeah, this is probably the matchup. Maybe one or two of the matches of the week. Ravens being led by Lamar Jackson in that run game. Now, four and one since he's taken over. At the Chargers, coming off a big win against Kansas City, and definitely need to have a better record than Kansas City to get the division. So this is a big game because the Ravens are also trying to win their division. So K-Star, who you have?
If you guys want to do a quick narrative, just try to keep it to 30 seconds or less, I would add.
Yeah.
I like Chargers beat the Ravens at home. Randy's in doubt. Yes.
All right.
Yep. I'm going Chargers also. Gordon's going to be back. Momentum is real. Taking Chargers.
T.
Any other year, I go with the Ravens. I said the Chargers are looking different. Chargers.
The Chargers are definitely truly I think they're the better team. My biggest question mark is the Ravens. My biggest thing is the Ravens defense. The Ravens do play pretty good D. And now with Lamar Jackson having really allowing them to have more possession time and giving that defense time to rest. Man, this is a tough one. But right now I'm going to go with Chargers. I will keep a close eye on this one for the remainder of the week. Okay, we have the Texans at the Eagles. Another big one. Texans trying to lock down their division. And the Eagles still trying to stay in the hunt, especially after the big win against the Rams. Thank you, Eagles. Appreciate it. Fly, Eagles. Fly. Whew. Way to go, Nick Foles. K-Star.
Yeah, this is a good one. I'm going to go with Philadelphia at home, playing really well. Tough game for Houston.
Okay. Philly at home. All right. Jay.
I'm going Texans with this one. It's a scary game. Nick Foles looking like last year's Nick Foles potentially, but I can't stand the Eagles. I'm taking Texans.
Gee.
Fuck the Eagles, Texans.
All right, such emotion. You know, Nick Foles always comes in off the bench and reminds me of Fitzpatrick, like I'm coming off the bench, so I got all the moxie. But I really think the Texans are the better team here. And at a point where they can close out their division, I think they'll go ahead and just get it done this week. So I'm going to take the Texans. Another one. I put this on here because even though this team cannot make the playoffs, they're still playing enough good football to disrupt this other team who's in the hunt for the playoffs and still on the outside looking in, and they're really playing good ball. So the Giants at the Colts. The Giants I know aren't going anywhere, but they're playing some good football right now. And they can be a spoiler for the Colts. But does anybody want to give the Giants a shot to upset the Colts here?
Man, hell no.
Giants just got shut out by Tennessee. Let's move on.
All right. This will probably go down as one of the games of the week. And they've already clinched home field throughout the playoffs, so it doesn't mean much to them, but it means a hell of a lot to the other team. So Steelers at the Saints. K
K-Star, we already know who you want. So, Soy Brothers.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
I hate this, man, because every time I pick the Steelers, they lose. Every time I pick the other team, Steelers win. But you know what? Screw it. Saints going to take it. They still have a lot to play for, and they're at home in the Dome where they're almost unbeatable. So I'm going to take the Saints.
All right. T.
Man, Steelers been playing better, at least against the Pats. Have a lot to play for. You know, everything in me says this is the making of, this is a trap game, making of an upset. But Drew Brees is going to have a big game and take me to a fantasy football championship. So I'm going with the Saints.
That cannot be your reason.
That's exactly my reason. You got a big game, taking me to a fantasy football championship. Saints all the way.
You better make sure you get that memo. Look, man, Saints have nothing to play for. They got home field throughout the NFC. They're pretty much done. They got it wrapped up. They're good. Steelers have everything to play for. Absolutely everything. Because they lose, they will be on the outside looking in going into week 17. I'm going to pick these Steelers to get it done. But you let me down, K-Star.
Saints play home field advantage?
Good pick.
No.
Yeah,
no.
They're good, bro. They're locked.
No.
I don't think
No.
They said it last night with their win.
That's not
true.
Excuse me,
I watched that entire game.
They do not have home field.
Train.
They
don't.
What do you mean?
They don't. They're 12-2.
They don't.
They
do not.
Right.
They're 12-2. Rams 11-3. If Rams win out, if Saints lose one, the Rams will get it. So it's still up for grabs.
Try to tell you, Train.
Rams lose.
The
Rams
have,
went out. Saints lose out. Rams get it.
Okay.
The Saints have a first round bye. They do not have home field.
Right.
Okay.
That is
projected
correct.
With the remaining schedule, but okay.
Yeah, you can project it, but I'm just saying they haven't locked it in yet. So they do have something to play for.
Right.
They win this game, they've got it.
Right.
Okay, Chiefs at Seahawks. The Chiefs are still fighting to actually win their division. As long as they tie with San Diego, they have it. And then Seahawks, I mean, they've pretty much got a beat on the fifth seed. I don't believe anybody can catch them, but they've been playing really good ball as of late. And tend to struggle with teams that are playing good defense and running the ball. So, K-Star, who you have?
Bonafide Mahomes, baby. Coming off a loss. Need that win real bad. They got to win their division first, so they got all the motivation in the world. I mean, both teams do, but Chiefs are more talented. Pat Mahomes, Bonafide.
Jay.
Yeah, I agree with K-Star. They are more talented, but the team that's more talented doesn't always win. That 12th man is real, so I'm going to take Seattle.
T.
Seattle's home, and they still don't have, you know, they're not guaranteed. They need to win to get in the playoffs because they still have the Vikings and, you know, Eagles and the Redskins are still mathematically a part of this whole thing. So Seahawks need it. They can't cruise in and think 8-8 is going to get them in. So they've got a lot to play for here. So I'm going with the Seahawks as well.
All right, I will definitely take Seattle in this contest. Getting tired of all this quarterback talk as if they can carry teams on their own. These last few weeks have shown us that you need more than just a good quarterback to win these games. These defenses are starting to show their teeth, and I'm loving every bit of it. So going with Seattle. All right, man, that's a pick six.
All right, excellent. Final thoughts. We'll start with Dr. Train.
I just keep it simple, man. It feels good to actually be competitive and be in the postseason. looking forward to January. Hope my team continues to finish strong. There's a chance to get a first round bye. The only thing that sucks about the Green Bay Packers game is that Eddie Jackson went down with an injury trying to just go down because he made what he considered a game-sealing interception. So he was trying to go down, got his foot caught in the grass, and sprained his ankle. So good thing is that we're pretty much in the playoffs, so we can pretty much rest him. And we'll be playing at least one home game. So go Bears. Monsters of the Midway. Win it.
All right.
Keep it in the
All right. All right.
Yep. Yeah, another big game this Sunday. Big Ben took out Brady. Time to take out Breeze on the road. Pretty difficult, but I'm really looking forward to the game. Not really sure how it's not the Sunday night football game, but CBS probably didn't want to let that one go. Or Fox, I'm not sure which outlet is covering it. Network is covering it, but I'm sure everyone will see it. I'm looking forward to that game. And best luck to everyone's team this Sunday, except for the Saints fans out there.
All right, JB.
Two things. One, good luck, T, on your championship. We'll go out there and get it. I'm in the consolation in both leagues, which obviously don't mean a damn thing, but I hate losing. I'm going to bring it. I'm just going to bring it. I don't care.
Sorry.
And lastly, speaking of bringing it, Cowboys need to bring it this week. They've got the talent. Somebody else got to step up, though. They got to get more folks involved, get this W. So I'm looking forward to a dub when Sunday night comes.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Not a lot to say. Catch me maybe on TV tomorrow, maybe. If not, you'll certainly see my company on TV, so check us out. There will be no show next Tuesday night for obvious reasons. It is Christmas Day, so I'm going to allow all of us to enjoy our Christmas with whoever we choose to enjoy it with. I'm hoping that my Christmas will be full of celebration over my Cowboys winning the NFC East, over me winning a fantasy football championship, and over the Saints beating the Steelers. But anyway, I shouldn't even do that. I know that was rough. That was rough, K-Star. That was rough. So I don't know. I'll what we're gonna do as far as the show next week goes. My inclination at this point is to not do one at all. Maybe I'll come on and do like a lunchtime show or something, but I'll reach out to these guys and see if anyone has any time off. Maybe we can figure something out next week. It will not be on Christmas Day, but maybe we can squeeze something in during a week next week if these guys have any time.
I don't go back to work January 7th.
Okay, well, I don't go back. Next week I'm off, so I have time next week myself. And but I'll email or text you guys and see if there's a night or a day. If we're off, maybe there's a day we do show during the day. But I'll reach out to you guys and see. So I want to take this time to wish everybody, whatever you celebrate, first I'll say happy holidays and be politically correct. But then, of course, I'm going to say Merry Christmas. I think this whole thing, I understand culture and diversity and the times we're in as much as the next guy. But come on now, baby, it's cold outside. It's not offensive. The song is 74 years old. I think we need to take a deep breath and not take each other so seriously. Okay, I think we need to chill out a little bit here. I think that's just we're taking this a little too far. All right, everybody. So everybody have a great holiday. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the games. Got games on Saturday this week. Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So, a lot of football, a lot of good games. Enjoy them all. Merry Christmas to my co-hosts. Hope you all have a great holiday. And, hey, we'll catch up with you guys next week. Because this weekend, again, all feuds will be settled on the field. Good night, everybody. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Mwah, 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 mwah.